We are not SportsCenter. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Debate Amongst Friends. I am the Professor John Gandhi. My co-host over here is Doc Leesner, the podcasting beast, and we're ready to provide you with another fun edition of sports news, analysis, and the reads.
And ladies and gentlemen, just like that, the train keeps going all the way from WrestleMania to Tampa. Gronk wins the 24/7 title and then ask the Patriots for a trade to the Bucks. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Debate Amongst Friends. Doc Leesner here, the podcast beast, alongside the host with the most, the Professor Jonathan A. Gotti.
Man, you already know. We in here.
We are definitely in here. Gronk to Tampa. The train doesn't stop. I don't even know what, you know what? I'm not even going to ask where they're getting all this money from. I just know that it happened.
Well, it looks like it was just for a fourth-round draft pick, so...
No. I'm not talking about the draft pick. I'm talking about the money.
The money. I don't know. That's a good question.
He makes $10 million. I don't know. With trades, I know that sometimes players aren't necessarily paid the entire amount, or when they're released, they're not paid the entire amount. But Gronk's owed $10 million. We already have one tight end who's making like $5 million. I'm sure OJ's making a pretty good amount of money. You got Mike Evans making 12, 15.
Billion. Yep.
Yeah, Chris Godwin's got to get paid this year. I mean, yikes. And we still got to pay these rookies, so.
You know what this is called in sports, folks? This is called win-now mode. That's exactly what the Bucks are right now. And Doc, I mean, I don't know if you noticed this during your splendid introduction. I mean, I was, you know, peering into some of the DMs, looking at the live accounts for some of these clickbaiting analysts, and I'm just looking at their knees to see if it's dirty.
Oh God, not their knees! I can't believe you did that.
Because
where's Helen? Where's Helen? Oh my God!
Because I'm trying to figure out when and where suddenly the Tampa Bay Buccaneers became top news for people to talk about.
Well, they've been top news for me for 20 years. I don't know.
Yes, for what, you. You're a Tampa Bay fan and also a football fan. I'm talking about sports media. Of course, Debate Amongst Friends is, of course, part of sports media. But we offer a different take. We don't do clickbaits, and we give you the reads. That's what we do.
That is what we do. I mean, I'm not sure, man. I think once Tom Brady arrived to town, he brought the circus. But now everything is in town. I mean, Gronk coming to Tampa, which I would have never imagined that. I never asked for Gronk. I mean, I'm pretty happy.
And he specifically asked to be. He basically stated, "I want to play with Tom Brady in Tampa." That's what he put out there. And then give it about 40 minutes, an hour later, he got traded for a fourth-round draft pick. And the full deal is Rob Gronkowski and a seventh-round draft pick will be heading to the Buccaneers, whereas the Patriots will only receive a fourth-round draft pick.
I wouldn't be surprised if – and a lot of people say this – if O.J. Howard is included in a trade somehow and we get an additional pick back. I mean, because it's just not – listen, there's not enough footballs to go around.
No.
Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Cameron Brate, O.J. Howard, Gronk. He's still got a running back, and then they're saying we're going to draft a running back, which, of course, we'll go over later.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not enough footballs to go around. But my brother Shadow actually texted me, and he said Brady might throw 50 touchdowns.
I wouldn't be too surprised about that. I still feel like, and you mentioned this on Facebook, I mean, we have to see what happens once they get on the field. It's way too soon.
If they get on the field.
We don't know what Gronkowski the Buccaneers are going to be getting, because he's been away from the game for a year as well, too. We don't know what kind of Tom Brady we're going to get either.
True. The one thing I'm excited about is that Gronk can actually block. And that's the one thing, one downside I have about OJ is that he's an okay blocker, but I think Gronk can really block.
Yes.
It's going to be interesting to see what happens. But I will say this. You made a good point about win now mode. I think, honestly, this is a last-ditching effort for Jason Light, you know, the general manager, for those that don't know, to save his job. I feel like the Glazers probably went in and said, okay, you know, we gave you the coach that you wanted. Because that was the big knock on him. I said, Jason Light never got a chance to pick his own coach. A lot of people said he did, but that's not true. When he got in, Lovie was the head coach. Lovie picked Jason, and then Lovie went ahead and did whatever he did. You know, he brought in Dirk Cutter and all these other guys. They let Lovie go because the team was regressing. They brought Cutter on because of his relationship with Jameis, which he didn't want Jameis. He wanted Mariota, so the Jameis-Cutter relationship never looked good. So in that whole ordeal, that whole four-year period, I don't think Jason chose Lovie, nor do I think Jason chose Dirk Cutter, because it was just one of those things you got to get forced into this. So, you know, the Glazers give Jason an opportunity to bring in a coach that he wants, which was, of course, Bruce Arians, who says, okay, well, we got this quarterback named Jameis Winston. You know, if you can't fix him, nobody can fix him. That's what we're going to say. That's what we're going to say. Listen, I know it sounds rough. You're making a face. People can't see it. But I'm sure Jason came in. He said, listen, we got this guy, you know, Jameis Winston, you know, JW3. He can throw it. See what you could do with him. See if it's going to work. I said, it's not going to work. Give me Vaughn. We want the righty. Yeah, exactly. We want the righty. So you get Tom Brady. You pick the coach you want.
Yep.
Then you say, I need the quarterback that I want. Okay, you got the quarterback you want. Now it's just adding extra pieces now. Like, oh, you want Antonio Brown? No, we can't get you Antonio Brown. Call him and see what he says. Let's call Gronk and see what he says. Call Gronk. What does he say? I want to play with Tom Brady in Florida, which actually would technically work out if Gronk did want to stay in touch with the WWE, because, you know, Orlando to Tampa is really not, it's a far drive, but it's not that bad as going from New England to Orlando. But I don't know, the train keeps going. The draft is this weekend or this week. I'm pretty excited about that. I think Tampa's looking really good. It just depends on what they do in the draft. And I don't know. I'm just trying to figure out where the money's coming from. I mean, I wish somebody would answer that. Not just Tampa. I just wish I knew where all the money in the world was coming from.
Yeah. It could just be that the Patriots decide they're going to pay that last year of Gronk's contract, too. It could be.
So cash consideration?
Yep.
I could see that. That would be interesting. You know, like let's say they gave Tampa – you know, 4 million of the 6.
Yep.
You know, who knows? Gronk might restructure his contract to where we get him for a longer time, 2 years maybe. That would be pretty awesome.
But, I mean, right now, this is it for the Bucks.
Yeah, exactly.
This is.
Yeah, everything
people
else.
People
is
already
the
started
draft.
Tweeting about, you know, Chiefs versus Buccaneers now, Super Bowl 55. Like.
Yeah, let's take it easy.
Like,
let's just start.
The Bucs went from, and I'm not saying this about your team, Doc. I'm telling you what the people have been saying about your team. That they're a laughing stock.
Yeah.
They're a turnover machine for a QB.
I've heard that.
You know, and they've regressed back like another 5 to 10 years.
Don't go there. Oh, my God.
This is what the people have been saying. I'm not saying this.
That's so ridiculous. We regressed. Let's see. When do we regress? We regressed. Let me go back. If we won the Super Bowl, brought everybody back.
Yep.
Brad Johnson, I forget if he left or he retired. We're bringing in a few quarterbacks. Yeah, honestly, we've been a coach or quarterback away from being in the playoffs, honestly. Yeah. You know, it's always been pretty close. So you think about it, you bring in a coach, you bring in a quarterback. If they draft well, I think it'd be good. Mm-hmm. Honestly, we're not the team to beat every year.
No. But for no reason. But you're always a team to be aware of, though.
Every year.
Yes.
Every year, you know. So,
I mean, you said it yourself last year, you know, the Bucks record could be the inverse, you know, given one or two plays, because each game you lost by, what, less than a touchdown.
Yeah. Three points or 5 points.
Exactly.
You know. But, yeah, I don't know. I think it's going to be an interesting year. It's going to be an interesting year. The draft is coming up, like I said. And I think Tampa's going to be fine.
I think so, too.
But speaking of draft and switching gears really quickly here, we also had the WNBA draft.
I hate to be that person, but I'm just shocked that they actually decided to talk about it.
I know. And you know what? And the thing that I wanted to point out is that I don't think I've seen it too often where the first two picks of a draft are from the same school.
Yes.
That's pretty awesome. That's to Oregon.
That's a first. Oregon has been a women's college women's basketball powerhouse for, I want to say, at least the past decade, from what I remembered. You know, I used to really enjoy watching the New York Liberty back in the day. I'm happy to see that they're making some strides to improve themselves. I'm always happy to see a New York team improve themselves.
True.
You know, will that lead to me watching some games? It might, actually. It might. I mean, we don't know. We don't know yet. True. I don't know yet.
No, this is very true.
But then also, before the actual draft began, they also did a special tribute to do some honorary drafting of the three young ladies who unfortunately lost their lives in the plane crash that also took NBA legend Kobe Bryant as well, which was also, you know, kudos to them. You know, that was amazing.
Yeah, because, you know, as you know, Gigi was a pretty solid basketball player, a la her pops. So, I mean, it is definitely special to have them honored at this draft because their futures were taken from them so early.
Mm-hmm.
And looking at this group, you know, just looking at like some of the teams that these girls have gone to and, of course, some of the schools that they've come from, a lot of course, top 10 teams, you know, 12 picks, 3 rounds. I mean, statistically, the possibility of making it to the WNBA is really, really tough.
Yes, it's slimmer.
Yes,
but it goes back to what we were talking about with, you know, the issues with like pay there as well. So even though it may seem like it's tougher, it could also be that not many of them actually want to go to get WNBA because it's better opportunities to play overseas.
That's true too. That is true. And again, as I mentioned previously, probably about 2 months ago, I just think I really believe that the WNBA really needs to reshift some of their demographics from some of these big marketed teams and really capitalize on the small market, high popular areas like, you know, Kentucky basketball, for example. Kentucky basketball is like all they have.
Yes.
You know what I mean? You know, like, it's like, that's the kind of fan base that you want where it's like, there's nothing else here but this college team. What else can we put here? You know what I mean? Like, what is in Omaha? Oh, Omaha. You can, I mean, come on. You can make a whole, you know, marketing campaign off of Omaha. You know, you got Eli Manning. You got Omaha Steaks.
Oh, I mean, you mean Peyton Manning.
Omaha is Eli Manning.
And Peyton.
Peyton never really said
It was. Yeah, you want me to tell you why? Because that's what people were. It's always the most forefront thing, and it is Eli. And I'm agreeing with you, but
yeah,
they're not going to remember Eli doing it. They're going to remember Peyton doing it.
Fine, the Mannings.
Okay. I'll let you have that.
You'll allow it.
I'll allow it.
The Mannings in Omaha. But I think having that small marketing gimmick, so to speak, in a place like Omaha, like you say, give me a team in, how about in Seattle? They always talk about the Supersonics returning, you know what I mean? Is there a team in Seattle? I believe
yes, Seattle Storm.
Storm. And I'm sure the Storm are like doing fine.
Yes.
But you go to those teams, you go to those cities, those states where they need something. Heck, Newark, New Jersey lost a whole franchise.
Everything.
A whole franchise would have been pretty good.
They lost
instead of going
everything.
Listen, instead of calling them the New York Liberty, like let's get back to New Jersey. We need those New Jersey teams.
New Jersey sports franchises got gentrified over to New York. That's all I'm going to say.
Forever. And yes. That was so ridiculous. But they played in New Jersey. They still play in New Jersey, but they're not getting any love.
Nope.
Even here in Raleigh. I mean, why not? It'd
be great to see a WNBA team there.
I would be fine with it. Durham, you know what I mean? Wake Forest, you know?
I could actually see that for like Austin, Texas, actually, now that I'm thinking about it. Austin, it'd be great.
Austin, Texas would be awesome.
Yeah.
But I mean, outside of that, I mean, I'm looking forward to these girls, competing, you know, hopefully this season with everybody craving sports. If they get a chance to get out there on the court first, because I don't know if the NBA is actually going to come back this season. I have no idea how they're going to work this out.
I don't know, but according to everyone else, it's going to be the Lakers as the champions, apparently. So,
wherever, to ever lace up a pair of shoes. I mean, the guy can score without even being on the court.
Apparently. I mean,
he can bounce the ball between his legs from the other side of the court, and it can go and swish just like that.
And all I could think about with that is, Doc, you remember what I was telling you on Monday? And I told you exactly what's going to be some of the hot takes from a certain miniseries that was going to be on the ESPN. And that turned out to be right.
What was it called? Chasing the Goat or something like that?
The Last Dance.
Oh, yes. Yeah, the Last Dance. That's right. The Last Dance. I thought it was Chasing the Goat. The Last Dance, which I haven't watched yet. I'm sure people out there are wondering if Doc has watched. We have not watched yet. I probably won't watch until it's finished. Because I like to watch my documentaries as a whole. you know, I like to watch the entire thing in one sitting. It's just the way I do things. No leftovers. And we'll see what happens. But obviously, as you mentioned in your message, you know, we lived through the Jordan era. Obviously, I'm sure you're not happy with the way Michael Jordan treated your Knicks.
I mean, I'm the same person who really enjoyed watching Reggie Miller destroy Reggie my Miller. Knicks, too. I mean,
It's pretty sad, actually. But being a Bulls fan at that time, or being a Michael Jordan fan at that time, which I can relate to the LeBron fans in that aspect.
Yes.
But Michael Jordan went to the Wizards. I wasn't going to the Wizards.
So no. Let's
just put it like that.
No.
But I wasn't staying with the Bulls either.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? I had to find a new identity.
Like, we're talking Cleveland. To Miami, back to Cleveland, to LA.
No, we're not doing that. We're skipping that completely. Mike wants to play basketball, then go play baseball, then come back to basketball. He wants to change his number from 23 to 45. I don't know.
Oh, he also played that one game as 12, too.
Yeah, we're not doing this, Mike. Oh, look, it's Clyde Drexler. Oh, I'm a Rockets fan.
Nope, it was always Big Pat. It was always Big Pat for me.
I'll just follow
what Clyde. Pat, oh, Bernard King. Then in the '90s, got Charles Oakley, John Starks, who was my favorite Knickerbocker. Allen Houston, Latrell Sprewell, Marcus Camby. Mm-hmm. They had a great squad in '99. Even though Ewing got hurt.
I'll end with saying Chris Childs.
Yes, and Chris Childs, an NBA player who also won the Heisman.
Yeah, big time. Oh, no, that's Charlie Ward.
Charlie Ward. He also played for the Knicks around that time.
Yeah, he did. He did. But I'm sure that people want to hear so much more after these quick messages. So come back. We're going to be right back here with you.
And we're back. And Doc, I don't know if you remember this, but you know, we keep seeing all these great highlights from wrestling's past of like the greatest moments in wrestling history. And I mean, even our boy Mick Foley talked about, you know, watching this one wrestler climb up those blue steel bars and he puts his hands up and then he does this splash off of it. And the whole crowd absolutely goes insane. And it is a moment in history. Mm-hmm. Well, unfortunately, the veil behind the moment is riddled with pain, blood, and death. That is the legacy of Jimmy Superfly Snuka.
Can I be honest? If I didn't watch all of these...
Oh, wait, and we're talking about the latest Vice Dark Side of the Ring episode, folks.
Right.
episode 6.
Episode 6. Like, if I didn't watch all of these, mm-hmm. I would have thought that Vice was trying to take down Vince McMahon. If I didn't see them all.
I can see why you would think that.
But they threw in New Jack. They threw in a few other people. They showed some WCW and ECW stuff. So, okay, we've kind of moved on. But it always seems like it comes back to WWE somehow. Snuka. Okay. So this is another one of those things where
When you say that, I would say that if they were trying to bury WWE, the only thing that they need to show is talking about his takeover of all the territories.
Yeah, but that's in their bio.
That's true.
They've been very... Vince, that was his strategy. You know me, I've written papers on the WWE. It was intentional, and it wasn't illegal. And, you know,
folks, that what we just got finished talking about, that's a prelude. Right. So remember that.
Right. So it's illegal. Yeah, it's legal. But this documentary with Snuka, first and foremost, again, I've probably only seen highlights of Jimmy Snuka. I've never seen him on TV live or anything like that. I think that was just slightly before my wrestling time.
For a bunch of us, actually.
But I would have never known that he didn't speak English. I wouldn't have known that. I would have never known that until I seen the documentary. Not only could he not speak English, but he could read in English either, which, yikes. You know what I mean? Like, Vince McMahon coming here and say, hey, come here, man, sign that.
Yes.
Okay. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I've never heard business done like that, ever. But I'm sure it happens quite often. I don't know how to feel after this. Like, the last couple episodes, I knew how to feel. I was like, okay, I know how I feel about this. This one, I don't know. It's all kind of speculation. You know, like, did she fall and hit her head? I do think that the family had some, you know, stake in their claim. Like, hey, yeah, even if she fell and hit her head, no, you still should have took her to the hospital. So that part, I was like, okay. But
the issue isn't, you know, we talk about this like with football. Like, once you have a habit of you know, doing this particular bad thing, like, it's hard for people to give you that benefit of doubt.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, previously, like, some of the other people, like New Jack, for example, we talked about New Jack. He did cocaine. He would go out. He would do crazy things in the ring.
Yep. Which you he know, admitted.
Snuka, right. Snuka had a whole wife. And his wife didn't seem like the type that was getting beat up on or anything like that. She seemed like she was just aloof to everything that was going on. Oh, you want to have a girlfriend? Oh, go ahead. Do you? Didn't seem like the type that would be like, yeah, I just gave him cocaine whenever he asked for it. You know what I mean? Like, it just didn't, she didn't give me those vibes. Like, she gave me like a whole different vibe.
I can understand why you would say that. It's hard for me to co-sign on that because of how the mindset of how things were back in those days, like compared to like now. Like, it's really, really hard to say, okay, you know, there might be some kind of doubt there because we've, you know, would read about later on, you know, about certain domestic issues that occurred. But no one really thought of it that way because it was more or less, unfortunately, the norm. Not complete norm, but like it was a norm.
Well, maybe, and this is going to sound terrible, you know, and I don't want to disrespect anybody, but
wait, we should probably put a warning right there.
Yeah, like maybe he didn't abuse her because he abused other women.
I don't think that makes it better.
It doesn't make it better, but I'm just saying it would, it kind of would prove my theory here. Like, she probably has no idea that he was like that. If he was, like, if he was out there killing and beating people up, mm-hmm. you know, like, or like, oh, if he was weird around people, like when he went home, he probably was able to kind of turn that off and just be with his wife. You know what I mean? Which, you know, being married is kind of tough. I mean, again, this is the 80s, 70s, and 80s, so I don't know. Like, you're saying it's different, which I get. But it's like you have a whole wife at home.
Yep.
You're on the road probably 300 days a year, because that's how Vince likes to roll.
Yep.
You have a side piece manager. She is your road dog. You're going to meet her family. You're doing drugs together. And then one day, supposedly, she falls, hits her head, you know, goes to the hotel room. You leave, do your show. You come back, she's barely alive. I mean, I just don't know.
Yeah, and I can't even try to speculate on what actually occurred because we're talking, what, 40 years?
Yeah, I mean, in just the fact that the police, based on the investigation on the show, didn't seem to really
care. That was the part that made me think of, okay, you know, this is a totally different time where things were handled a way that today, you know, we were in cancel culture. Like, he would get arrested. People are, you know, getting convicted now. You know, people losing their jobs, their livelihood.
But it's one thing, you know, to say, you know, money talks. But I mean, I'm sure money still talks today.
Okay, but I'm like, I mean, oh, don't say that. We definitely. But
we're talking about murder, possibly.
And that's the weirdest part. Remember what we talked about at the beginning of the segment, folks? This is coming back in full circle.
Mm-hmm.
So there's two things about this that kind of irked my nerves that made me just go, oh my gosh, I can't believe this. Mm-hmm. After Snuka's wife, Nancy, passed away, the family, during the documentary, basically said that an anonymous promoter offered her $25,000 for grief. And then the same anonymous promoter also had a big role in the investigation of certain things that happened.
Money.
In which this anonymous promoter walked in with Mr. Snuka while he's being interviewed by the police, told him to say nothing.
Said that he was going to continue wrestling also.
Yes. Which is why I'm still using the things were different back then argument.
Well, I mean, it depends. Like, I would say that it's possible for somebody to be involved in something like that. They might not say anything. They might walk. I don't think you would continue. I could say the WWE wouldn't build storyline around that person.
I'm talking about now.
I don't think they would build a story around somebody who might have a murder case.
No.
It's too risky.
No.
So
I mean, heck, they got a lot of backlash when they try to make a storyline around Roman Reigns' leukemia.
Right. I mean, right now you're talking about 1970s, 1980s.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly every wrestler was doing drugs and being promiscuous.
Yep.
He claims he didn't do it. I don't know. You know what I mean? But I just know the documentary sure does paint some holes in primarily the case, I guess. It just, the defense of the case, the police department.
Oh, the police department they did not look good at all.
Yeah. And this is, I mean, and it could be because this is a town that maybe needed the wrestling to continue there because it was good for the community.
That's going back to the way things were handled back then. I mean, if you help this whole thing go away,
no.
I scratch your back, slide and you briefcase, and then you scratch mine. But of course, we don't know who this anonymous promoter is, though.
Right. maybe he didn't have that voice back then because he was a little younger, so it might have been a little, but I don't know. I can't do
his younger voice. I'm sorry.
I know.
I could. I just have to re-listen to it again.
WrestleMania. You just got to take some of the smoking out of your voice.
I don't even know because of smoking. I think it was just because of him just screaming so much.
No, I'm saying we would have to take some of the smoke out of my voice.
Oh, no. I don't want that.
WrestleMania.
No.
Like, we'd have to take WrestleMania. Yeah, you hear that? Yeah, take some of that smoking out of your voice.
I'm good. Kids don't smoke, folks. Don't smoke, kids.
Pretty ridiculous. Actually, it's probably one of the craziest things.
Remember, kids, winter don't do smoking.
I've never understood it, but I mean, to each his own. Everybody's got their own thing. But I believe that if you enjoy wrestling, again, we always say go and take a look at this documentary. It's a little darker. There's some wrestling. This is not centered around wrestling, and that's the thing. I guess that's a little different than the other ones. The other ones were centered around wrestling first, and then this backstory. But this was like, man, this guy killed this girl. He's still wrestling though.
Yeah. Well, of course, those are things that. The internet wasn't there for us to learn about these things either. I mean, if even a hint of that came out like today, I mean, it'd be all over the place.
You see what almost happened to Ray Lewis out there.
I'm just saying. It was a pretty good one. I can't wait for the next episode. But there's one other thing that we need to finish talking about during this segment. And that is talking about Howard Finkel.
Who
passed away. As well.
Which, if you remember, we did play the NU for the new Super Bowl champions. Mm-hmm. I think it was Super Bowl and NCAA champions.
Yes,
we played the NU legendary voice, legendary announcer,
ring announcer. Yep,
the Fink, you know, passed away.
Who is from New Jersey.
Yeah, that was tough. That was tough. But, you know, with everything going on right now, and this is going to, again, sound terrible, you know.
You have to be real careful about this. Do we need to put a disclaimer for everything?
No. Like I said, I would rather it be for natural causes than this dang coronavirus.
Yes.
Like, oh my God, I'm so getting so tired of this coronavirus. I can't wait for it to go away. I wish people would just stay home and let's get this over with. But we will go ahead and give a quick moment of silence for the faint, and we'll be right back after this message. And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. 2020 has been crazy so far with the coronavirus, really limiting the amount of draft activities teams and owners can do. Players can't get there. You know, their meetings, they have to all be virtual. But the one thing that has come out of this past weekend, Bleacher Report had their first 2020 NFL user mock draft, which I thought was a very, very awesome idea, allowing the fans to vote for their team on their draft slot, who either they wanted or who they believed were going to be picked at that particular spot.
Yes.
And in addition, NFL analysts have also started releasing their third, fourth, and fifth versions of their mock drafts, some six. And today we're going to go over both Charles Davis and Bucky Brooks. I'm going to be handling Charles Davis. Professor's got Bucky Brooks. I think about Bruce Buffer from last week. A lot of B's there.
It's time!
And with the first pick, the consensus first pick, the guy with the cigar, Cincinnati Bengals on, Joe Burrows. No qualms or guesses here.
No, that's... literally
pretty close, pretty standard.
Yeah, that's happening.
Number two, I did hear that the Redskins were considering moving number two. It's probably not going to happen, but they would be open to listening. I like Chase Young, which seems to be consensus there as well for Bucky. Is that accurate?
Yeah, and I think Ron Rivera really likes, you know, he's a defensive-minded coach, so he would love to have a young cornerstone for his defensive front, but I'll be curious to see what teams are willing to move up and what they're willing to give away.
True.
Because okay, you're going to give up a lot.
Absolutely. Number three here looks like another consensus. You let me know. Number three, Jeff Okuda, cornerback.
No.
Who do you have?
Number three, Mr. Brooks, and not to be confused with my cousin. Is Derek Brown, defensive tackle from Auburn.
Ooh, yeah. Interesting. Oh, you know what? I can see that. They went back to their, I guess, their Ndamukong Suh draft. You know what? That makes sense. I kind of like that. I like Jeff Okuda, but I could see Brown there. That would be fine.
I feel like everyone's saying Jeff Okuda because of the Darius Slay trade.
Yes, that makes sense.
So, it's more of a reactionary, but, I mean, Derek Brown is a really good player, too. I mean, it could happen.
No, he definitely is. Number four, I have two different players here. For my man, you know, Charles Davis, we got the number four pick for the New York Giants. They need to shore up the offensive line. They go with Tristan Wirfs out of Iowa.
Yes.
Bleacher Report. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Same thing with Bucky as well, Tristan Wolf. Because okay. The Giants really do need to improve their offensive line.
Get this. The fans actually gave the Giants linebacker out of Clemson, really good linebacker, Isaiah Simmons.
Which is also a pretty good pick because they also need to fix their defense.
They do. I'm going to let you go first with the number five pick and see if you have somebody different.
All right. Number five, Mr. Brooks has chosen from Oregon quarterback Justin Herbert.
Different. I knew it was going to be different. So for these two drafts, we have Tua Tagovailoa from Alabama, which has been the story.
See, it's weird. Because prior to his injury, he probably would have been top three, hands down.
Agree. Oh, yeah.
I feel like he may end up being a top 10.
They're saying he's starting to slip, but I don't know. It just depends on what teams want to do. You got to keep in mind, you still have Cam. You still have Jameis. You still have some other veterans out there.
Yes.
It's tough. Well,
If they want someone to just start now, then I could see someone like a Justin Herbert or, you know, maybe. But, like, we don't even know if Tua is going to be ready for the first game of the season. If he has to get a game, maybe.
True. Very true. Very true. But, I mean, right now he's slated at number five in some of those mock drafts, so we'll see what happens. Number six for the Chargers here. Charles Davis has number six going – to the Chargers, Justin Herbert, the quarterback out of Oregon, going to the Chargers, which makes sense.
Yes.
Who does Bucky have?
Bucky had linebacker / safety from Clemson, whom the fans chose at number four, Isaiah Simmons.
So he's going to be a top five or top 10 pick there, looks like.
Yeah, which makes sense.
Looks like the fans are giving the Chargers Jedrick Wills, the offensive tackle out of Alabama,
really good. Yeah, but I had I actually had a chance to watch some of his highlights. He's for at least the highlights, of course, because it only shows a good thing. It's not just the bad things, unfortunately. He looked really, really good.
Number seven, it looks like the Giants man here. Looks like they're going. Actually, no, not the Giants. I'm sorry, the Lions man.
Yeah, the Lions.
Derek Brown out of Auburn. From Charles and the fans.
And Bucky chosen whom the fans and Charles chosen. Quarterback from OHIO. Jeff Okuda.
Which is fine. I could see that happening.
Yep.
Let's see here. Looking, moving on. We're just going to keep moving on, ladies and gentlemen. Here, number eight, the Cardinals select Isaiah Simmons, according to Charles Davis. What do you got over there?
I see Jedrick Willis, actually.
Jedrick Willis. And it looks like the fans gave them Tristan Wilfs out of Iowa. So it looks like we're getting pretty good mix here.
I'm okay with that. We did say that the Cardinals will be a team to look forward to watching the season. And them, you know, fortifying that front line will do a lot to help out.
Absolutely. Okay, number nine. Who do you got, sir?
Mr. Brooks has chosen quarterback from Alabama, Tua Tagovailoa.
Wow, number nine. That's not bad. That's not bad at all.
That's not bad.
You know, they've traded away their quarterback. They got Gardner Minshew still, so it makes sense.
I feel like that might be a better situation because it allows Tua to heal.
True.
For at least a season.
Or it allows him an opportunity to be forgotten about.
It happens.
Number nine here for the fans, we have Jerry Jeudy, wide receiver from Alabama, which would be pretty awesome because they do need some weapons.
Yes.
And then Charles Davis has Javon Kinlaw from South Carolina going number nine, which is very high.
That is pretty high. That might be too high.
I can see it happening, though. Number 10 here, the fans have given the Cleveland Browns offensive tackle from Georgia, Andrew Thomas.
They definitely need an offensive lineman.
They do. And Charles Davis is also giving them an offensive tackle, Mekhi Becton from Louisville.
And Mr. Brooks has also given him the same player as Mr. Charles Davis.
That's awesome. And number 11, who did Bucky choose for the New York Football Jets?
The J-E-T-S, Jets, 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 had chosen wide receiver from Oklahoma, CeeDee Lamb.
CeeDee Lamb. I think that's a good pick.
I think that is a good pick.
It looks like the Jets actually also take tackles. It looks like the fans gave them Mekhi Becton.
Yep.
And Charles Davis gave them Jedrick Willis.
Okay, so pretty much the top 11 has all the same people, I believe, except for one on Charles' list, who is higher than he probably should be.
Yes, pretty big there. Number 12 here, Charles Davis has the Raiders taking Jerry Jeudy.
Same thing for Mr. Brooks. And it looks like the Raiders of Las Vegas are getting a wide receiver, apparently. So,
yes, because the fans actually selected CeeDee Lamb.
Once again, the Raiders need something to really draw in that Las Vegas market, because it'd be their first season there. So, you know, getting a young, you know, electric receiver. Both of them are just electric.
True.
So I don't think that's a loss either way.
Yeah, so I think the electricity continues with San Francisco. Charles Davis has them selecting CeeDee Lamb.
If CeeDee Lamb falls all the way down there, I have questions for those other teams.
Yeah. The fans, who's Bucky have?
Bucky has Javon Kinlaw, defensive tackle from South Carolina.
That would be smart.
Who would be a great replacement for DeForest Buckner, who they lost.
True. That would be a smart pick. It looks like the fans have selected Henry Ruggs III from Alabama, wide receiver, which is same speed.
Yes.
I like that. All right. To my team, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at pick 14. The fans have finally drafted Javon Kinlaw in Tampa.
It's about time.
who does Bucky have at 14?
Bucky chosen offensive tackle from the Bulldogs, Georgia, Andrew Thomas, to add protection for Thomas Brady.
Charles Davis has done the same, actually.
Yeah, which, if you think about it, I think Doc would approve on that, though.
I would.
Yeah.
It would be the first offensive tackle since 2006, okay. I believe. That's the last time we took an offensive lineman in the first round.
You heard it from Doc.
I believe it was 2006.
We can always fact check that.
Yeah, it was a very, very long time ago, I can tell you that. But he was a pretty good guard for years, so I can't even be mad. It was 2006. Dang. I just confirmed. All right, number 15 here. The Denver Broncos, the fans have given them C.J. Henderson, cornerback from Florida.
I can see that.
Charles Davis has given them Henry Ruggs III to give them some wide receiver speed.
And Bucky Brooks chosen cornerback from Florida, C.J. Henderson.
CJ seems to be almost alone.
And they want to try to create a dynamic tandem with AJ Bouye.
Boom. Speaking of CJ Henderson, in Charles's mock draft here, he actually goes number 16 to the Falcons, the next pick below.
They do need to fix their secondary.
They really do.
Need to fix that secondary. It was pretty bad.
Who does Bucky give?
Bucky chosen cornerback from Clemson, AJ Terrell.
That's not bad at all. No. I like that. I like AJ Terrell. The Falcons, and for the fans, they gave them Clavon Chaisson from LSU, edge rusher, which they need to get sacks too. That's another thing. So I could definitely see that. And speaking of Chaisson, the Cowboys at 17, according to Charles Davis, he goes to the Cowboys at 17 because we know that they need pass rushing help.
Yes. Well, it's weird about the Cowboys because they need more help than just the edge. But they also chosen Clavarn Jason on Bucky's list as well, too. It's weird because they have talent. I think the problem was more discipline.
It makes sense because for the fans actually gave them Xavier McKinney, safety out of Alabama, which I know the secondary has been a major problem. It's so
horrible.
So that does make sense.
It's horrible.
All right. And in Charles's mock draft here for number 18, the Dolphins actually select Xavier McKinney, safety out of Alabama. So we're getting around the same spots.
Yep. Yeah, so far we only just had one person that wasn't in this list.
Mm-hmm.
That's like the outlier. At number 18 on Mr. Brooks's list, we have from USC offensive tackle Austin Jackson.
Austin Jackson, a very good tackle here. The fans have given Miami Josh Jones offensive tackle from Houston. So I think those two guards are pretty interchangeable. I think both of them are pretty solid.
Let's
see here. Who does Bucky have for number 19?
And selecting for the first time, the Las Vegas Raiders. Has chosen from LSU linebacker Patrick Queen.
Oh, no, this is the second time. This is the second pick.
Yeah, I said pick for the second time.
Oh, I thought you said first time. No. Okay, you said Patrick Queen.
Yes.
Which I think it looks like Charles has the same thing here. The fans actually gave them A.J. Terrell, the corner from Clemson. All right, so it looks like we're moving right along here. Yeah. We're already in the 20s, ladies and gentlemen. A.J. Terrell also goes number 20 in Charles Davis's mock draft to the Jaguars.
Bucky has chosen from Iowa edge rusher A.J. Epenza.
Ooh, Epenza, he's pretty good. Jacksonville for the fans gets Christian Fulton, quarterback from LSU. Let's see here. Number 21. Goodness gracious, the Eagles need help.
Oh,
it looks like the fans say, you know what? We see your help, and we raise you Justin Jefferson, wide receiver from LSU.
Bucky Brooks has chosen from Alabama, so we're still sticking with SEC. Wide receiver Henry Ruggs III, who is a big play threat, and they do need that on the Eagles.
I highly doubt he falls to 21.
He is not dropping to 21.
Yeah. Yeah, Charles has the Eagles taking Kenneth Murray, linebacker out of Oklahoma. I don't think that happened either.
No.
But speaking of Justin Jefferson, looks like 22, the Vikings replace their guy that they traded away with Justin Jefferson.
Which they do need. They will try to recover that.
Mm-hmm.
Bucky's list, he has from LSU cornerback Christian Fulton.
And it looks like the fans gave them cornerback out of TCU, Jeff Gladney. Again, these are pretty solid picks. I can't say too much about them.
No.
Who does Bucky have for the New England Patriots?
The New England, no longer Tom Brady-led Patriots. Chosen safety from Alabama, Xavier McKinney.
Wow. I actually like what Charles did here. He gave them A.J. Epenza from Iowa defense, and I think he fits the Patriot way, personally. He's kind of got that J.J. Watt kind of vibe to him. I think he'll be pretty good in that system. But it looks like the fans gave them linebacker Kenneth Murray from Oklahoma, which would also be a pretty good pick.
Yeah, because they lost two key defenders in the offseason, I believe.
They really did. So number 24 here, looks like the fans went with Patrick Queen, LSU linebacker for the New Orleans Saints. I think they've always been pretty old at linebacker.
Yes.
So it looks good to see them get some youth. Who does Bucky have?
Bucky has chosen. This is interesting. From Utah State, quarterback Jordan Love.
I was going to say the same thing. Looks like Charles went the same way. They get the heir apparent for Drew Brees and Jordan Love going the Aaron Rodgers approach.
Yes. In which, during a video, you know, and I was telling you about this when they were introducing some of the top prospect, I believe it was Jordan. Yes, it was Jordan Love. And I was like, there's something about him. He may surprise a lot of people, but we'll see.
I can understand that. Who does Bucky have for number 25 for Minnesota?
Number 25 as the Vikings with their second selection of this round. Has chosen from LSU wide receiver Justin Jefferson.
Justin Jefferson. Oh, looks like Charles gave them Jalen Johnson, quarterback out of Utah, and the fans actually gave them offensive tackle Austin Jackson from USC. Let's see here. The Dolphins with yet another pick. Looks like Charles Davis gave them Joshua Jones, tackle from Houston.
Mm-hmm.
And the fans gave them center or guard Cesar Ruiz from Michigan.
Bucky gave the Dolphins from Georgia running back DeAndre Swift.
Ooh, first running back off the board.
Yeah.
Let's see if this is a consensus pick. That would be crazy. Looks like both Charles and the fans gave the Seattle Seahawks at number 27, Yetur Gross-Matos from Penn State.
We have 3 out of 3.
3 out of 3. I knew it. Dang. All right, then. Let's move on to the Ravens. The fans, which I like this pick, too. The fans gave the Ravens A.J. Epenza from Iowa. I like that, too. Who did Bucky give?
Bucky chosen from Wisconsin, linebacker Zach Bond.
I think they started copying each other. That's what Charles gave as well.
Yeah. Like, as we get towards the end of it, you start seeing some similarities.
Nah, they copy. Nah, I ain't talking here. Looks like here, number 29 for the Dukes Titans. Charles gave them Austin Jackson, tackle from USC. The fans gave them Jalen Johnson, cornerback from Utah. Who did Bucky give?
From Auburn, edge rusher Marlon Davidson.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Let's see if we can go 3 for 3 on wide receivers for the Green Bay Packers at number 30. Who did Bucky give them?
Bucky has the Green Bay Packers selecting from Houston. The University of Houston, offensive tackle Joshua Jones.
Wow, offensive tackle. Oh, my goodness. Looks like Bucky and the fans gave them wide receiver Denzel Mims from Baylor, and Charles gave them Brandon Ayuk from Arizona State.
I like both of those picks, though.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
And I also like the offensive tackle pick, too.
Yeah. All right, let's see if this one. Oh, yeah, that's a big-time pick. That's a pretty good pick at number 30. I think having the tackle at 30, that's, you know, because these are all, like, the top five, top seven tackles. So, I think I told you this off the stream. It's like this draft is really quarterbacks, offensive tackles, and then wide receiver.
Yeah.
So – number 31, let's see if we can go 3 for 3. Who does Bucky have?
Bucky has chosen from Alabama, cornerback Trevon Diggs.
Looks like we have a winner, ladies and gentlemen. The fans and Charles have all given the San Francisco 49ers
Trevon Diggs. I really like that pick.
That is a pretty good pick. That's a good defense. That's a good defense to learn in and really be. You know, I really like that here. All right, let's look at the Kansas City Chiefs. Charles Davis gives them DeAndre Swift, running back out of Georgia, which would be a pretty good fit there. I like that.
Bucky has the reigning, defending, undisputed NFL Super Bowl champs. The Kansas City Chiefs selecting from Ohio State. Running back, J.K. Dobson.
That's good.
I really like that pick too.
Yeah, that's a good pick. I like it. And the fans gave them a linebacker, Zach Bond from Wisconsin, which I like Wisconsin linebackers.
Yes.
I think they've always been pretty good. I really, really loved this format from Bleacher Report. I hope they do this every year, giving the fans an opportunity to, you know, just be engaged.
I like it because you could tell based off of where they're placed that it's not just a popularity contest.
Exactly. It's what the team needs. It's perfect. And in some cases, it really matched what the experts were saying.
Yes.
So, I enjoyed it. But
before we continue, though, because we do this every single draft, we always make our predictions for the number one pick. I was right last year. I know, you know, all consensus, we know who's going to go number one, but it's a tradition here at the Beta Bunks Friends where we give our predictions on who will be the number one pick. So, Doc.
Are we serious right now?
Yes. We do it every we legitimately do it every single year.
Well, usually there's options. There's no options.
We do it every single year. Even when there were no options like 2 years ago, we still did it.
Who was the first round pick 2 years ago?
I freaking remember.
Exactly. Exactly. It's so ridiculous.
Like, I don't remember. Oh, you asked me that question. Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield. Was it Baker?
Yeah, it was Baker. Baker Mayfield.
And that was the pick that I chose.
There were options in that one. There's no options in this one. People know Joe has been the number one overall pick
since week seven of the college football season.
I would say that in the beginning there was tank for Tua, and then it became tank for Joe.
Yes. Yeah, pretty much. That's pretty much how it's been.
But that's fine. So we're going Joe Burrow, I assume.
Yes.
Since this Bengals are just crazy.
We just need to keep on this tradition now.
That's so unbelievable. But with all good things, they must come to an end. We will be right back with more, and the 2-minute drill is up next. Ladies and gentlemen, at the end of every show, we like to do what's called the 2-minute drill, where we go over stories and headlines that we didn't get a chance to talk about. Starting here, it looks like Duke has officially had the return of two sophomores, Matthew Hurt and Wendell Moore, both agreeing to return next season. Prof?
Mark Cuban, who's been in the news given the current format of the economy, is offering fans a chance to sign a one-day contract to play with the Mavs. Back to you, Doc.
It was announced today that Lamar Jackson, the reigning MVP of the league, will now be the new 2021 Madden cover athlete. Prof?
And in NCAA football news, they have made some changes to certain rules to extend the instant replay to 2 minutes, as well as allowing players who were tossed out of the game due to targeting to remain on the sidelines. Back to you, Doc.
I do love that. I love podcasting. And honestly, this has been a wonderful show. Thank you all for joining. And I hope you come back next week for more debate, reads, and the news.
Thank you for listening to the Beta Bunks Friends. Give us a follow on our social media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
You can also listen to all of our Debate Amongst Friends podcasts here on Anchor, as well as Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and iTunes.
And like we always say, goodbye, mwah, and to all, a good night. LASG.
Peace, the ocean. Yay!